T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Alongside Pony and Muller, presented by Chafin Luhana Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. It is Steelers running back James Conner who helped spearhead a Steelers win on the quote-unquote road in L.A. against the Chargers last night, 24-17. James, take us inside that stadium last night when the PA people, the sound people at the Chargers makeshift stadium decided to play Renegade in the middle of the whole thing. What was that like?
Oh, man, it was crazy. It was right on time. And I didn't know if that was something that the Chargers do or what it was. But, you know, all of our fans started, you know, going crazy. And it was, honestly, you know, 75% of the stadium was Steelers fans. So it was kind of crazy that they started playing Renegades. And, you know, all the way out there in L.A., it was just like, one of those moments was just crazy if we ever did that.
You've probably played in, I would imagine, a lot of road venues where there have been terrible towels visible and an obvious Steeler fan presence, but have you played in a game where it was pretty obviously a lopsided crowd for you guys as the visitors like it was last night, or was that a unique one in your career to this point?
Definitely one that I will remember, and it was a unique one. The next closest one was probably Tampa Bay. Last year, there was a lot of Steelers fans and a lot of terrible towels, but this by far was the one that stuck out the most and was just kind of like, wow, I can't believe that, you know, we have this many fans here.
James, did you guys feed off the crowd? Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Chargers got booed when they did the introduction, you know, so kind of like, yeah, we fed off of it for sure. You know, it was just something that we had that momentum going and played off of the crowd for sure.
Did you see any of those guys on the Chargers getting annoyed by it? Because some of their players after the game were complaining.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon ripped
the... They were complaining about the Renegade stuff. I mean, did guys on the field seem annoyed when you're looking across at them? Like, oh, God, here we go again. These guys are getting cheered when they do something good.
Yeah, I think I've seen a couple of them, like, pacing back and forth, you know, kind of looking around. But, no, I just seen... on Twitter, I seen Melvin Gordon, and I'm saying, like, I can't believe they did that and stuff. So I'm pretty sure they were probably really, really mad when it first happened. But, yeah, it's just crazy that they did that. I know there's some conversations going on over there today.
Do you actually feel sorry for that team and that franchise, James? You obviously have felt the love of fans, and you know what it's like to play for a team in an organization that has so much fan support. We were talking about this before we brought you on the show. It's like the Chargers have to play a road game every Sunday because they don't really have a home now that they've left San Diego. And I don't know. I mean, I would think, in your opinion, that home field advantage means a lot in the NFL.
Yeah, home field advantage definitely means a lot. Man, it's just, you know, it's life, some situations, you know, that you're in. You know, Chargers, like you said, every week it probably seems like they can't fill a home crowd or get that momentum. I mean, they made the move from San Diego. I don't know how big of a difference that made, you know, if it was a little bit better in San Diego or whatever. But, you know, I'm just thankful I play for the Steelers. So, you know, I don't feel too bad.
That stadium is unique in the NFL because it's a soccer facility for the, I think, the MLS team they have out there. It's like 30,000 people, not a very, the bleachers don't go high up and everything else. So I imagine that's kind of like some of the smaller stadiums, like maybe Duke or some places like that that you played at in college. So what's it like being in that sort of a venue itself for a pro game? Do you feel like at home because you played so many college games that might have been comparable to that on the road?
It was definitely different. But it takes you kind of, it takes you back kind of a little bit, to, you know, maybe like a big high school game, or, you know, just I had a couple friends that played, Division II ball or your low Division I ball. And I don't want to, you know, try to, you know, crap on their stadium. You know, it is smaller. It's no secret. It's a soccer stadium, but it just takes you back a little bit to, you know, we're just, it's, you know, tight on the field and only a certain amount of people, but everybody there is tuned in. So, you know, there is only a little bit of people there, still sold out. It's pretty loud. So it just takes you back a little bit.
James Conner, brought to you by Bowser Automotive. I thought you had an outstanding game, James. What, in your opinion, let's talk about the team for a second, and then we'll get to you individually. What do you think was responsible, or what do you think was the reason why you guys were able to go in there and play such a good team game last night?
I think it just went a situational ball. You know, we couldn't get the run game going a little, you know, earlier in the season just because of not converting on third downs and really short drive, three and outs and such. So, early on in this game, first off, the defense, you know, helped us out tremendously by putting the touchdown on the board of Devin Bush, you know, taking that fumble up and taking it back to the house. So we knew we needed to get points on defense for us to win that game and just try to take a little bit of pressure off that. And then, you know, it's coming together and converting third and five, third and six, third and fours. You know, we were moving those chains, and that was allowing us to, you know, play a little freely and do a couple different things, you know, with me out the backfield and everybody just executing. You know, our tight ends blocked great. O-line did a great job protecting Duck. So it kind of just came together last night. Had a good time.
Describe what it's like seeing the defense make so many splash plays so early on in that game to just, I mean, if that crowd was already anti-Chargers when you guys walked in the building, it had to be in a lather about 15 minutes into the game. So what was it like from the offense's perspective just to see, you know, multiple splash plays so early on?
Man, we really feed off that. And when we got to have each other's back, you know, all three phases. You know, we had a big special teams play as well. They overturned it. But that fumble that King had, and we recovered it. But, you know, it's just everybody having each other's back, winning field position battles, and just, you know, the defense creating short fields for us to get points, and like I said, it just came together.
James Conner here on 93.7 The Fan, the James Conner Show. NBC last night, the observation they were making about the way you were playing was, this looks like James Conner during that run you had last year, the five straight 100-yard games, when you were at your best, the games that made you a Pro Bowl running back last year. Did you feel, James, going into that game, that it was going to be your best game of the year? Was there something about either practice or the way you felt physically that made you feel like it was going to be your breakout game of this season?
Well, I felt good going into the game. We had a good week of preparation going into it. But it was really just patience. You know, I know that, you know, every game I'm not gonna have 100 yards and two touchdowns every game, even though I would love to do that. You know, it's just certain every game is gonna be different. So you just have to have patience with it. And you know, we knew a big game. I was definitely feel like we were due for a big game, but, you know, more importantly, me being due for a big game, we needed a win bad. And like Coach T said earlier, you know, we're 1-4 football team going in with our third string quarterback versus a Hall of Fame quarterback. So I just had to play big. I was just kinda having patience, you know, up until this point, and you know, I got the ball in space and was just able to make a couple plays. So we just had, like I said, just had to play big to try to take as much pressure off Duck as I could, and we were just, you know, really needed to win.
James, I mean, it was versatility. Most targets on the team, 7 for 7 targets and catches, so getting it done ground and air, breaking tackles to the point where it was becoming a major talking point on the broadcast. So what was your mindset, I mean, specifically, and you just mentioned it, Duck, you know, third-string quarterback, what was your mindset personally going into the game, maybe knowing that short passing game, that you'd be featured maybe more prominently there?
Man, all of us are just playmakers, have to make plays. And, you know, I knew that we can get things going. And like I said earlier, if we can just continue to move the chains and get first down, And so, you know, a couple of those third and short, third and mediums where Duck was just throwing me the ball and I was getting the first downs, I just kind of got into a nice rhythm. And we were building off some momentum. The lineman was applying pressure and, you know, getting movement up front. And we were just executing. So the mindset was just, like I said, just play big. And we were just a team that was thirsty for a victory.
James, how have you developed and gotten better as a pass catcher? What have you done to make yourself? Because when Bell left, I'll be honest, a lot of Steelers fans were wondering, how are we going to replace Le'Veon Bell as a pass catcher, as a receiver? How have you developed? How have you gotten better at that part of your game?
You grow every year. You get experience, and you got to continue to be, you know, a player on the rise. You continue to evolve, to stick around in this league. And so, I never really believed my hands were an issue as far as not being able to catch. You know, I had in the preseason my rookie year, but, you know, just going back and watching the film, I was just taking my eyes off the ball, not looking it in. And so, you just got to treat every play like they'll play and, you know, don't take no plays off. And so when the ball's coming your way, you know, feed in, tuck it, and then just know where to be at, getting more experience in the offense. You know, I wasn't asked to do a lot of that at Pitt, but seeing the Steelers and being a part of the offense, seeing how Le'Veon used to get open and be available for Ben, or where you can see him and just check the ball down to him, a little 2-3 yard pass, but turn that into 12 to 15 yards. This was getting experience with.
It's James Conner, presented by Dollar Energy Fund and powered by Bowser Chevy in Beaver Falls and Monroeville, one of the stars of the Steelers' win in L.A., 24-17 last night. Coming up next with James, we'll go through the injury report, how he feels after that game, how he felt about Benny Snell stepping up late in that game, and more on Duck Hodges and what he did in his first start. I'm Major Filippone. He's Chris Muller with Steelers running back James Conner on 93.7 The Fan. What's at stake? Brought to you by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, the perfect steak every time. It's our weekly chat with Steelers running back James Conner, coming off a big night in L.A. Won a couple times got derailed by some big hits in that game. Let's start, James, with the quadriceps injury. At least that's how it got reported. When did it happen? How did it happen? How does it feel right now?
It happened like in the third quarter. Just took a shot to the quad and, felt a little bit better, kind of bruised up. But, I think we get the bye week. I'll be able to heal up and be ready to go for the next week. It just happened by, taking a shot to the quad and just felt like I couldn't really accelerate off of it. And, it was real, real painful. And, at that point, Benny was running really hard. And, I knew that, it was probably the best decision to let him go. He had a hot hand. And, I really didn't feel like I could go. So it's kind of where I'm at with it now.
I would ask you what play the shoulder happened on, but I think we all know that one pretty well. So how is the shoulder feeling right now?
Shoulder's all right. I'm good. Physical game. I'll be all right. I'll be all good.
Where is that on the list, that Thomas Davis hit that Chris just alluded to, in terms of the hardest hits you've taken in your career? On TV, in HD, it looked like a huge hit. Did it match it the way that it came through the television set? Was it a big one, James?
It hurt. I just fell off the ground really hard. It kind of got the wind knocked out of me. But I've been hit like that before. Once you're able to breathe again from getting the wind knocked out of you, you go back in the game. So I was a good player, though. And, I left my feet and, hit the ground pretty hard. So, you'll have that sometimes, but I'll be good.
Is the bye week, is there like a couple seasons in now to your NFL career, is there a certain time of the year you prefer to have the bye week? So you're six games in here, almost at the halfway point of the season. Do you prefer it to be earlier on? Do you think it's beneficial if it's later? What's your stance on kind of, you look at that schedule, you see it come out, and where do you want that bye week to end up?
I believe probably somewhere in the middle halfway mark of the season, kind of where we're at now. And, yeah, you know, I think it's different for everybody, you know, where, you know, they're getting, you know, banged up at, or maybe with their record shows that they, need the time to recoup and get back together and go back to the drawing board and try to, you know, get some answers and stuff like that. But, you know, this, I feel like it's a good week. You know, I took some hits yesterday, and so the time is for our bye week. I feel like it's a good time for us.
James, obviously a lot of things, especially defensively, but offensively too, went well last night, and it was the kind of game that fans really seize on and take a lot of people will say the phrase, there's a lot of momentum now building for the Steelers. So how do you build off of a win when you've got the bye week now after such a big performance?
I think you just get healthy. We got a couple guys, you know, more than just me that are, you know, got some things lingering, you know, guys who missed some time who maybe didn't play last night. And so you just, you know, you get healthy and get your body right and prepare for this next stretch.
James, what did you make of Snell? And for running backs, you know, how do running backs like yourself thrive when there's another guy that's also getting snaps and getting opportunities? How does that make you as a running back? Does it limit you in any way? Some guys say that they need, the more carries they get, the better they are. How do you make it work when more than one running back is seeing the field?
You just make it work. I think that's how you win games, is by having depth. You know, whether it be at the defensive line position, or linebacker, or, you know, running back especially. You look around the league, and a lot of teams have multiple guys that they use and are talented and stuff. So, you know, it's awesome to have depth and everybody, you know, and, you know, Benny's, you know, it's like a brother to me. So, you know, I love to see him doing good, and, you know, we need that. So, you know, I'm excited to get Jalen back as well, and that streak will be really, really special. So, man, it's awesome to see you. You can say you like to get in the rhythm, but, you know, I was in a rhythm last night. And rhythm or not, you know, playmakers got to make plays, you know, however it may be. So it's not, it's whatever to talk about, what you might like to, you know, do or get a feel for a game. But, you know, guys get hot hands, and Benny was running it hard. So, you just make it work. You got to have depth.
James, you mentioned that when the quad started to act up a little bit after that hit you took, that you felt like it was the best, you know, kind of in the best interest of the team with the way Benny was running, with him having the hot hand, that he kept it going for the rest of the game. How much talk is there between the two of you when he's in there getting the bulk of the carries about what you're seeing? You know, how much kind of, I don't want to call it teaching, but kind of information sharing is there going on, you on the sideline, what you're seeing, or vice versa when you're in the game?
Every time, you know, change of possession or anything, anytime we come back to the bench, we're always talking, you know, making sure our eyes are right on the pass protection, making sure we didn't miss any blitzes or what we've seen in the run game, if we should have took a run outside or not. So it's constant communication throughout the whole game for four quarters, constant communication every time we come back to the sideline. And, you know, he had good ball placement. And so it really wasn't much to talk about, except for, you know, the ball security and just continue to run hard downhill. And that's what he did. So there's not a lot that had to be said.
All right, I got to sneak in a Hodges question here. You got one of the game balls last night. First of all, what did you make of that ridiculous $5 T-shirt that he wore onto the field during warm-ups? Did you approve of it? Did it make you laugh? Did you think it was corny? James Conner on the $5 Duck Hodges shirt.
Oh, man, that's Duck. He doesn't need approval from anybody. You know, I love the fact that he, you know, embraces that role, and you know, that shows confidence right there. You know, he was being himself, and, you know, he knew the cameras were going to be on him. So, man, that was awesome. That I think that's displaying confidence. And so, he don't need approval from nobody. That he put on the show, so he can wear whatever shirt he wants to wear.
James, I am terrible at my job, so if this actually has been reported already and I'm, like, last to the party, so be it. But they were talking on TV when he threw the touchdown pass where you did the heavy lifting after the catch, shedding a tackle and pretty much waltzing in. I think Chris Collinsworth said, You know, they showed Duck running up to you, and he said he's probably asking for that football from his first touchdown pass. So, where is the football? Who is in possession of Duck Hodges' first touchdown pass ball?
That's a good question. I think I might have thrown it to the ref, so he might have it. I don't know what I did with it after. I don't remember, actually. So I hope he has it, you know. I think for sure they're definitely our equipment managers will make sure we got that ball after the game or after that play, and I'm pretty sure he'll get it in his possession. So, yeah, I'm happy I was on the receiving end of it.
Do you have any special footballs that you've kept over the years? Souvenirs, footballs that were given to you after certain games?
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite one, James?
I had my first NFL touchdown. I think that's, you know, pretty international with, you know, everybody doing that. My first touchdown, official touchdown versus Cleveland last year. I had that football. I have one from college. You know, I have my ACC touchdown record ball versus Duke, 56 touchdown there. I got a couple ones that are significant to me.
Have you started duck calling?
No.
No.
James, do you get in on the...
okay, short and sweet on that one.
No, I mean, if you can't...
Everybody was doing it at the game last night. I thought maybe some guys in the locker room are now...
What, asking them for pointers on
I don't
duck
know.
Calls?
There are hunters in the locker room. They're outdoorsmen. I thought maybe
well, they
James...
probably all know how to do it then.
Well, Erie, PA, you got ducks on the lake there. Maybe James would
That's
get into it.
That's what you come up with?
Yes.
Ducks on the lake? Ugh.
You got some ducks up there. You know, I don't know how he does it. You know, we might go on a hunting trip or something while part of practicing, but no, we got more games to win, more football left before I start taking up duck calling.
James, I can't think of this off the top of my head, but in terms of just with Pony asking you about like footballs you've kept or just kind of mementos, anything from games, are you a guy that does, have you done the jersey exchanges at the pro level with guys?
Yeah, I've switched with Tyler Boyd. You know, my teammate, I switched with Jordan Whitehead. Then I have a couple other guys, you know, guys who I've just had great relationships with over the years. Offensive lineman Garrett Bowles for the Denver Broncos. I have his jersey. I got a couple other ones as well. You know, there's guys who are good players, but also good people, and maybe guys that I have some history with.
That was our Fast Fired segment with James Conner, brought to you by Blaze Pizza. Okay, coming up next, we'll get into more of what James is seeing from the Steelers, including another awesome game from linebacker Devin Bush. It's the James Conner Show on 93.7 The Fan. Have a well-deserved week off, and then we'll get back to business after the Dolphins game in a couple of weeks. James, what do you got planned for your bye week? We know that Hodges is going on a hunting trip with his old man up in Saskatchewan, Canada. I don't know if you're tagging along with those guys or not. A little rest and relaxation for you the next few days?
Yeah, just trying to get healthy, man. That's all it's about. It's about rehab, you know, just so I can be able to go out there and play fast, play full speed. I'm just gonna be hanging out.
This is maybe a weird question as far as like bye week stuff goes, but I always imagine guys on the bye week, maybe if there's something they don't eat during the regular season. It's not on the old the team-approved meal plan, maybe. It's not like the healthiest food. Is there a little cheat meal that goes on during the bye week? Wings, something like that, that you love that you don't let yourself have during the season?
I think you can get away with it, with a meal or two, maybe a dessert or something that you probably wouldn't eat throughout the week if you had a game. So,
what's the James Conner guilty pleasure?
I like cookies. I like ice cream and cake and stuff like that. So,
right up the alley.
I might have a piece of cheesecake or something.
One listener I thought brought up an interesting question. They want to know if you would have a hard time doing what Derek Watt would have to do in last night's game, which is possibly, if he needed to, completely lay out his brother. Because those two guys theoretically are on the field against each other. What are your thoughts on that dynamic? Could you imagine yourself in a physical football game putting a big shot on your brother, James?
man, if that's what the situation calls for, you know, at the end of the day, we got a job to do. And, you know, your brother will know that it's not personal. You know, it's not dirty, nothing like that. Definitely wouldn't do a cheap shot or anything like that. But, you know, if it had to make a big play or had to, you know, touchdown, saving tackle or however it may be, whatever the situation is, you know, we're on the field playing football. We got different color jerseys on. So, you know, as long as it's not dirty, you just got to do what you got to do.
I feel like I remember, though, reading stories of, like, you and your brother's roughhousing. Like, you were younger than your brother's getting, you know, having to fight for yourself in those family sporting event battles. I feel like you would maybe, if you got a good clean shot in, that's trash talk for weeks, if not months.
Yeah, like I said, if it's not dirty, yeah, lay them out. You know, as long as it's not a cheap shot, man, you know, like I said, we playing football, we playing fast, and you can definitely use that for some trash talk, especially if it's your brother.
James, when did you start to see in practice, at the facilities, Devin Bush start to have it click for him and the game start to slow down for him? Two takeaways last night. He's been incredible lately. As an offensive player who lines up against the guy in practice, when do you think the light bulb started to go on for Bush?
Man, I think he's still on a, you know, he's still on a rise. You know, when he first got here, you know, he told a story about how Ben, you know, was going at him all practice, and, you know, he gave up a couple passes. But when the lights come on Sundays when it counts, you know, I think he really steps up to the moment, steps up to play big. You know, he doesn't win every rep of practice, and he'll be the first to tell you that he needs extra work. But, you know, he plays fast, he plays fearless, and he still makes big plays, even if he doesn't make every play. He makes the plays when they count. So, you know, throughout, ever since training camp, I kind of just see him steadily on the incline. And for it to be his rookie year, his future is definitely bright. And so, you know, I think the light bulb is still on for him, and he's just on the rise week to week, getting better and better.
James, when did you feel like the game at the pro level slowed down for you?
Really, really not until my second year. You know, my first year was a lot of learning, a lot of figuring out how to be a professional. But when it's year two, you know, you're on the clock and time is ticking. And so I really don't have time to be waiting for the game to slow down. So you kind of just you work a little harder. You do, you know, more stuff in the meeting rooms and on the chalkboard, you know, rather than just being in shape. So it kind of comes together, but really not until about my second year. So Devin, yeah, he's ahead of where I was at my rookie year.
James Conner joining us for a couple more minutes. James, you got 2 weeks in theory to get ready for a team that doesn't want to win. The Dolphins, this whole tanking thing, you got a teammate now in Minkah Fitzpatrick, who thankfully got himself out of that situation and is now playing for a team that's tied for second place and still has a lot of football ahead of them. As a competitive person, what is your reaction in general to teams that tank and believe that it makes more sense to lose today to try to win years from now?
You know, I'm not really a believer in that. You got to look at it like week to week in this league, anything can happen. And so, you know, I'm just really kind of thankful I'm not in that situation. And so, you know, that seems to be pretty rough over there. But we're not going to take it lightly. We know that, you know, when we line up to play on Monday night, it's going to be, you know, the guys on the field, the Dolphins on the field are going to be trying to play and win the game. So that's how we're going to approach it. We're going to, you know, it's a must-win game for us, most important one because it's the next one. Yeah, I'm just, you know, we're not in that situation, so we just got to come out, play hard, and just secure a victory.
James, they're winless, and what Andrew just said about them as a franchise right now, I mean, is true, and it's kind of an open secret in the NFL. Everyone talks about it. So mentally, you know, outside of the physical stuff, how do you prepare for a team that you know you're probably going to be favored by, you know, it's going to be a team that you're supposed to beat? How do you keep yourselves as a team, you personally, kind of on track that week and not get caught in kind of the classic trap game, I guess, for lack of a better word?
I think anybody who maybe need to, you know, to focus on not being distracted probably isn't a too professional. And so, you know, it's the NFL. And, you know, we've seen what happened with the winless Jets. They just beat the Cowboys. So, you know, we can't feed into any of that. And we got to can't take them lightly at all. So we're going to prepare just like it's, you know, another NFL game, and just prepare and working, execute, finish on Monday.
Now, James, you bring up the Cowboys. I feel like that's a young, teenage James Conner, like, venting a little frustration at his childhood team, right? That wasn't an accident that you brought them up there.
No. You said the Dolphins were winless.
No, I know. I'm just messing. You had said earlier a couple shows ago that you grew up rooting for Dallas, so I thought maybe you'd be taking a little jab at your childhood team. Little frustration as a childhood fan.
Not like that. I'm past the Cowboys. I did say that. They were my favorite team growing up, but you know, I was just comparing my winless to winless.
James, care to make a friendly wager on Pitt-Syracuse Friday? Maybe maybe if Pitt wins, I'll come on the air next month, and next time we get together and sing the Pitt fight song.
I was planning on coming on air soon, but the singing part, I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
So,
I was going to say, EJ Borghetti will be in the studio if Andrew has to sing the Pitt fight song, recording and everything. He'll have a boom microphone in here.
All right, James.
Oh, I know. Yeah, EJ will do it big.
Enjoy the week off, and we'll chat after the Dolphins game, all right?
Sounds good. Talk soon.
There you go. James Conner. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy and McMurray. Join Sun on tomorrow, the 15th, and help them support the fight against breast cancer. High of 62 right now, and then a low in the 40s tonight. Wednesday, we will be at Permane's in Mount Lebanon.
The world tour continues.
So come by, say hello. We've got long sleeve shirts for you with the fan logo, Permane's logo on it, and a chance for you to win an all expense paid trip to Fort Lauderdale on Permane's dime. So there you go. Coming up next, the Zeisman cometh. His son, Elijah, was in camp with the Chargers, so you're going to get some interesting perspective on Zeiss from Zeiss. Zeiss is possible.
On Zeiss from Zeiss, I mean, you know, I think about myself. I look in the mirror. So,
all right. Chris, have a nice night.
Andrew, you do the same.
Shower well off that Browns loss, and we'll do it again tomorrow at 2. It's the PM team on the fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.